This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, let's see. We should throw it out to our listeners. Shouldn't we do that, David? Shouldn't we throw it out to the listeners? Hey, why don't you guys give us the woke update of the week this week?
That'd be kind of... I love that idea.
Thank you. Tim and Savage usually gives us one. You've always got great ones. I know I've got about six of them in front of us right here, but it'd be fun. We should throw it out to the listeners. What is your candidate for the woke update of the week here? David Noble, great to see you.
Yeah, let's see how many woke updates we can get from callers and listeners, and then at the end of the 7 o'clock hour, we will pick the woke update from the callers as the official woke update of the week.
We'll pick our favorite. You know, somebody's going to get really offended if we don't pick their woke update of the week. And then that will be the woke update of the week, is the conservatives that get so easily offended by their fellow conservatives.
there is definitely some similarities to wokeism that exists on certain elements of the right. There's no question about that.
Well, I want to come up with a term. This could be a woke update of the week. I want to come up with a term for conservative virtue signalers. You know what I'm saying? Like conservative signaling or something like that. There's got to be a term that we could come up with, because, yeah, that's just one of my pet peeves, is when you get these people that are like, well, I'm more conservative than you, or I'm more this and I'm more that. And it's like, look, we can poke holes in anybody out there. We can poke holes in any legislator, any legislative candidate, any candidate for governor or this or that. We're never going to agree on everything. But these people who are like, well, I'm more conservative than you are. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Didn't you support same-day voter registration a few years ago? Like, that makes you a rhino now. So it's just like, spare me the ego for a few minutes, you know? Like, anyway, yeah, without naming names, you know?
No, I've talked about that a lot, too, about how it's just not helpful for conservatives and Republicans to fight each other so much. And we just love to do it. It's just the weirdest thing. It's like, we've got actual terrorist supporters in our country. We've got actual Marxists in our country. We've got a Democrat Party that's so and we're all gonna and Republicans and conservatives most of the time would rather fight against each other.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, and like, you know, you and I have talked about the importance of primary elections, and hey, it's not the end of the world because there's a competitive Republican primary, right? But also, like, one of my other pet peeves is like, guys, we've got two Supreme Court elections to win this year. We've got an OPI office that oversees our schools to hold on to. We've got this U.S. Senate race here. And yet you get people that will spend all their time and energy and campaign contributions on all these other fights that are going to be losing fights come June primary anyway.
Speaking of which, I don't know if you saw the story about the new Senate Select Committee on Judicial Reform or whatever.
And in the state legislature,
And they had their first meeting, and they had the attorney, I think his name is Joe Ramlo, show up. And he made a good point, which I thought was kind of interesting. And he said, you know, judicial review, which is basically courts reviewing past laws to determine their constitutionality. You don't want to get rid of that, because what happens when Democrats control the legislature and the governor and they start passing all these crazy Democrat laws? You actually do want to have the ability to invalidate those.
Yeah.
In the future, that's...
Yeah, no, hey, great point. That actually reminds me of a great guest opinion column by Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP. Hey, we got callers on the phone lines. Jared in Anaconda, and then Tim in Billings has a woke update for us.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Washington, D.C. chooses its wars, and for now, leaders in Washington decided the U.S. has a vested interest in the war in Ukraine. Such was the case when Congress approved $62 billion for Ukraine to fight Russia in recent days. Tucked into that package was also money for Israel. That's another conflict in which the U.S. has infused itself thanks to the votes of bipartisan lawmakers. Congress sent money to the Contra rebels to support them in the civil war in Nicaragua in the late 1970s, but lawmakers began restricting money to the Contras in the early 1980s. Reagan administration officials found a creative, albeit illegal, way to go around Congress. The U.S. would covertly sell weapons to Iran. It was an effort to curry favor with Tehran to release Western hostages held in the Middle East. The proceeds from those arms sales benefited the Contras to wage their battle against the Sandinistas. Congress may have decided against getting involved in Nicaragua, but Washington picked this particular fight. America picks its wars, and history is the judge. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a chance for some scattered rain showers developing, mainly in the afternoon hours. High temperature readings will range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to about 54 in Billings. For tonight, rain shower chances linger early, turning to snow shower chances in the Bozeman area late. Lows in the upper 20s to lower 30s. Rain or snow showers around early Friday. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Wow, what a show on Monday's Montana Talks. We had highlights, Donald Trump Jr., Tim Sheehy, and more from Sunday's event in Missoula, Montana. Plus, I got to catch up with Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raglin, retired Green Beret, who was traveling to Billings, Montana, with General Michael Flynn. And then a lineup of incredible phone calls from all across Montana. That's always the best part, taking your phone calls, getting a chance to hear from you. Montana Talks, this is the show where you get to talk statewide, 9 to 10, every Monday through Friday.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, David, this is really cool. You know, here in the early morning hours of Montana Talks, we're broadcasting live, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 970 KBUL Billings, 8 o'clock, Great Falls and Kalispell jump online, and then 9 o'clock, that's when we're on Butte, Missoula, Plentywood, Malta, you name it. But, of course, with our app, with our Montana Talks app, we got listeners across the state, even in the early morning hours. So really cool. We got Jared in Anaconda is just a really good dude. I've gotten to meet him before. One of our Democrat listeners out of Anaconda, but he's in Missoula today. And he calls himself Smokey when he plays for his band, for his music. He's doing a gig tonight at Bitterroot Brewing, 6 to 8 tonight in the Missoula area. Anyway, Jared, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, I just was wondering what y'all's thoughts were on the folks pulling out of the debate. Because I listen to your show so I can get y'all's perspective, because I do want to send a shout out to David, because he did call me a unicorn Democrat, and I do take it as a compliment. But what's y'all's take on those folks pulling out on that Republican debate?
Yeah, so I'm assuming you're talking about the Montana Farmers Union one. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, great question. And Jared, great to hear from you. I wish I was in Missoula today to go watch you play some music tonight. So, David, I don't know if you saw this or heard about this. So the Eastern Montana congressional candidates, you actually moderated a very interesting forum at the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. Well, it was late at night. So, yeah, but nonetheless, that makes the point that these Republican candidates in the East have been doing countless forums, much like you moderated. I mean, they've been over the place. So let's do a little scene setter here first. So, I mean, you've seen it. You've been to some Lincoln Reagan dinners. They've been to events all across Montana discussing things, disagreeing on things, call it a candidate forum, call it a debate, whatever you want. But these men and women have been all over the place, right?
For sure. The one thing I was going to say is, man, if running for office means you have to go to Lincoln Reagan Day dinners all the time in every county, it's like, count me out. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're going to get hate mail now from that. Remove him from the committee man position.
The pitchforks
will come out, you know.
No, I actually really like them, but they are kind of similar. And so when you start going to multiple of them over and over again, and you kind of hear the same kind of stump speeches over and over again. So I don't know.
Like, if I could just go for, like, the cocktail hour and say hi to everybody and meet everybody. But you're right. Like, if you've been to one Lincoln Reagan dinner and then you go to 12 others and you have to hear the same candidates give the same speech.
Yeah.
Whoa,
that's why
repetitive.
And that's why we did something a little different here in Yellowstone County with the forum instead of just giving them time. And then with the fireside chat with Tim Sheehy, just do a little bit different. But so some of these candidates withdrew from this debate citing scheduling conflicts. Is that what happened?
So apparently some of them cited scheduling conflicts, which to me, it's like, why don't you just come out and say it outright? Like the Montana. So I said this on the radio. So one of the candidates, Kyle Austin, called in the other day and he said, well, hey, I'm going to be at the Montana Farmers Union debate next week. And I guess Mike Dennison was the moderator of the debate. And Mike's a good guy. He was one of the most fair journalists that we've had over the years. But now that he's retired from being a journalist, I mean, it's very clear he's you know, a partisan Democrat on Twitter. But my point was this. I was like, you know what? If I was one of these candidates for Congress in the Eastern Congressional District, I'd tell the Montana Farmers Union to go pound sand. They've basically become a pro-Biden Democrat Party front group. The organization is led by Walt Schweitzer, the brother of former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer. And I've enjoyed having former Governor Schweitzer on the show here. But like, my point is this. This is a Republican primary debate. Why let them control the microphone? Why let them control the media narrative? Why let them control the questions? So my point is this. None of these Republicans are afraid to debate each other or discuss these issues with each other. I think I know, like, for example, some of them, like Stacey Zinn, who pulled out. I probably Denny Rehberg. The reason why he didn't go probably is because he's like, same point. Like, why let the left control the microphone and the narrative in a Republican primary debate?
Right. I mean, if we're going to have a debate, we should have you moderate it.
Or you. Well, like you did the forum here.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be interesting to have somebody conservative actually moderate one of these debates because, I mean, even in that congressional candidate forum, I mean, when I was asking them to talk about immigration, it wasn't just sort of like, oh, let's hear, you know, how strongly you can condemn illegal immigration. No, I asked about hey, do you support this continued legal immigration of over a million people a year? Do you guys recognize that we have one of the highest percentages of foreign-born populations in our country at any time since the late 1800s? Do you think that legal immigrants are assimilating in a way that's healthy for our society? Well, you know, you believe in chain migration? Do you support birthright citizenship? And then they all kind of just came and said, hey, we really hate illegal immigration. And it's like, no, if we were actually in a debate, where I was actually moderating a debate from a conservative perspective, it's like, no, I want answers from all of those candidates on very, very specific policy
questions. Not just the same stump speech that everybody gives that sometimes you can't even tell the difference amongst any of them. Yeah. Well, and the other point that I want to make is like, okay, so you have like ABC Fox or whoever it was that has the Montana Right Now. So you had TV stations and you have radio stations that are, oh, we're going to air this debate now. So all these other forums and debates that these Republican candidates have done didn't get airtime, but now when the Democrat mouthpiece, Democrat Party front group, Montana Farmers Union, controls the microphone and they have now a guy who's obviously propping up the Democrats on Twitter and elsewhere moderating that. Oh, now you want to broadcast it for all the world to possibly hear it, you know. And so it's like, no, we're not playing this game anymore. We're not standing up to this fake news narrative anymore, and we're not letting you control the microphone. Anyway, that's my take.
Democracy 24.
Independent candidate for president Robert F. Kennedy Jr. proposing a no-spoiler pledge to President Biden that would have them co-fund a 50-state poll of more than 30,000 people in October, pitting each of them against former President Trump in a two-man race and agreeing that whoever performs weakest drops out of the race.
We only have one chance to beat Donald Trump, and we need a nominee who can get the job done. That would be me.
But extending the invite.
And I'm happy to make this same pledge with President Trump. Because I can do better against President Biden than President Trump can.
Saying he wants Americans to feel that they don't have to vote out of fear.
That they feel that they can vote out of hope.
Critics have slammed his run, including former President Trump, who called Kennedy's campaign a wasted protest vote. While more than a dozen members of the Kennedy family have endorsed President Biden for a second term. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather. For Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine, today we'll see a chance for some scattered rain showers developing, mainly in the afternoon hours. High temperature readings will range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to about 54 in Billings. For tonight, rain shower chances linger early, turning to snow shower chances in the Bozeman area late. Lows in the upper 20s to lower 30s. Rain or snow showers around early Friday. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson shared his title-by-title overview of the bipartisan policies and priorities included in the 2024 Farm Bill. He called the legislation a product that happens when the development process is extensive and transparent, which included feedback from members of both political parties. Thompson says he plans to mark up his bill on May 23rd. Ranking Member David Scott of Georgia Says Ag Committee Democrats presented a farm bill counterproposal to our Republican colleagues as part of an ongoing years-long process that can invest tens of billions of dollars in farm bill safety nets without any cuts to SNAP benefits. It's reported that Senator Debbie Stabenow, chair of the Senate Ag Committee, a Michigan Democrat, will release her farm bill proposal today. Her proposal will include summaries and a section-by-section explanation, but will not include the text. And on Monday at the public auction yards in Billings, they held their replacement cattle special. Over 1,100 head of pairs and bred cows sold. 110 of 2 to 4 year old bred cows saw a price of $3,500 up to $3,750, with the 5 to 8 year old cows priced at $3,375 up to $3,500. Short term cows anywhere from $1,900 up to $3,500, while heifer pairs brought prices of $2,800 up to $3,750. I'm Lane Northblonde.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's. We've got a woke update of the week here. Sorry for the wait, but that was a fun phone call from Jared and Anaconda. And then of course, I had a little bit of a rant there, and we had great insight from David Noble as well. But Tim in Billings, you got a woke update for us, huh?
Morning, gentlemen. Yes, I do. So about 2 weeks ago, you may have seen where there was five middle school girls in a track meet in West Virginia that all refused to do the shot put and compete against a transgender. So they refused to compete against a guy. And, you know, there was a lot of feel-good stories out there about that. Like, oh, these kids, they get it more than the adults do. These girls have got more cojones than most men in that state. They're standing up against this crap. And now they have been banned from competing in their own girls' sport.
That's right. I saw that update. No, Tim, that's a great woke update of the week. In fact, that is a perfect woke update of the week. Tim and Billings, thanks for calling in on that. David, you probably saw the story. Yeah, no, he's exactly right. The girls who refused to throw the shot put because a male was going to be competing in the women's shot put, they're the ones that are being punished. Not being allowed to play sports now in West Virginia. Crazy.
I mean, truly absurd. Truly great woke update. That right now is the leading candidate for the official woke update of the week. I don't know if anybody else out there has a better woke update than that. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. This is also another woke update. So I got a note from my friend Dan in Big Timber earlier this morning. He was watching the morning TV news, the television news, and there was Zoe Zephyr front and center at the Gaza protests at the University of Montana. Again, another woke update. We almost don't even need to say anything else because it's just the height of absurdity that a dude who chopped off his you-know-what to identify as a woman is there taking part, showing solidarity with these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers. I mean, what else do you say?
I mean, yeah, frankly, that's what I was thinking originally was, hey, the woke update is all of these pro-Hamas protests or whatever these people are on. You know, it's crazy, okay? So you have a war going on right now, right, between Israel and Hamas. Hamas is a longstanding radical Islamic terror organization. They hate Jews. They want to kill all the Jews. And they attacked Israel in the worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust. And now Israel is in a war with them. And you've got people literally protesting against Israel. Like, they're literally, I mean, how can you take the side of Hamas? It's really crazy. And then they're saying things on these campuses like globalize the infitada from the river to the sea.
Yeah.
I mean, they're shouting.
They're chanting about intifada. Do they even know what intifada means? Do they even know what river? Do they even know what sea?
No. I mean, and what it means is it means suicide bombings to kill Jews. It means bus bombings.
It's a religious war.
Right.
These people who hate, who espouse anti-Christian, anti-Jewish bigotry, that despise religion, are chanting intifada. They don't. Do they even know that it's a religious war they're chanting in support of? And then, it's
right. They're going to be chanting for jihad next. I mean, what is? I mean, do they? They don't have a clue. Of course, they don't have a clue. You know, I've been reading Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, one of the most important books of all time, and he pointed out something in the book that I found very interesting, which is that Marxists actually consider all criminals and felons to be class allies, and they consider criminals and felons to be class allies because typically criminals and convicts and felons are from a proletarian background. And I was like, wow, that's the perfect explanation for why you see Democrats today and leftists today literally supporting criminals, terrorists, everything else. They consider those people oppressed. They consider them class allies. This is, I mean, it's Marxism.
Well, and also they want to, I mean, I've said this before, that I believe we are seeing unconventional warfare taking place against America inside America. And so they are trying to cause chaos. They are trying to disrupt everything. They are trying to overthrow institutions. They are trying to erode the support for institutions in America, whether it's our judicial system, whether it's the military, whether it's law enforcement, you name it. And so that's the other reason why they love these criminals and why they want these criminals back out on the streets, is because it's this part of their unconventional warfare strategy to turn America into something else and to erode our institutions. The other big woke update of the week could, of course, be these woke protesters that occupy these campuses, destroy these college campuses, but then demand to get their vegan food delivered to them at the same time. You know, like, you must allow humanitarian aid to be delivered. And it's just like, wow. But this is like that young woke lady, this was the highlight of her life, standing in front of those cameras, demanding humanitarian aid for the encampment at Columbia, you know? Like, just a joke. All right, let's see. We got a couple of candidates calling in on the phone lines right now. Kyle Austin wants to talk about the Farmers Union debate that he attended. And then we got Kyle McMurray out of Manhattan right after that as well. 294-097.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Therese Crowley. Three lines of California law enforcement in riot gear move in to dismantle the UCLA Gaza protest camp after activists built plywood walls with hammers and zip ties to follow up Tuesday night's riot. First, a flashbangs to disorient the protesters. Then LAPD took the walls down. California Highway Patrol and sheriffs went in to arrest protesters, rifles pointed. Pepper balls at the ready. Protesters locked arms to stop from being peeled off, but then they're arrested one by one, cuffed, police pulling down masks, piles and piles of junk and graffiti all around. Presidential candidate Donald Trump asked, where's Joe Biden? Trump back in court in New York City after two rousing rallies in Wisconsin and Michigan.
I will seal the border, stop the invasion, and send Joe Biden's illegal aliens back home where they belong.
America is listening to Fox News.
All right, if you got a quick question or a comment, give us a call, 406-294-0970. Yeah, and we'll make it relatively quick because I want to get David Noble's take on that and much more here this morning as well. But, Kyle Austin, you're one of, what, three or four that went to the Democrat-hosted Montana Farmers Union debate. What did you want to say?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, David. Hey, I was listening earlier where that guy from Anaconda asked you guys your take, and you wanted to try to compare the debate to the Lincoln-Reagan dinners. And I want to disagree with that, because when you go to the Lincoln-Reagan dinners, you're playing it safe. Everybody's there talking about the platform, items that everybody agrees on. And so these candidates are playing it safe. First, so these candidates that did not show up to the debate, they are cowards, okay? They did not want to go play in the lion's den. They did not want to face the music. They didn't want to go in front of all Montanans and talk about the issues. Now, you say they're liberal at this thing. Well, yeah, there could be some liberal stuff. But the big questions were, how can our candidates take care of the agricultural community? And agriculture is huge in Montana, and that's what's important. They let you, you know, you say they can control the mic on that. No, they ask the questions, but you're free to speak on however question and answer you want to give. So, like, one of the questions was abortion. So everyone was allowed to answer that question on abortion. Those are the same questions across the country. Now, these candidates that didn't show up, if they're afraid to go to a Democratic liberal debate, they shouldn't be going to Washington, D.C., because when you go to Washington, D.C., you're going to be facing those lions, and you've got to stand up to them.
Yeah, see, I disagree with you. I don't think they're afraid of anything. I don't think they're cowards of anything. I look at some of these other candidates that you mentioned. Stacey Zinn didn't show up for the Democrat debate. She stood up to the drug cartels. Elsie Aronson, I don't think, went to this Democrat-hosted debate. She stood up against these stupid COVID mandates and these stupid COVID lockdowns and these stupid COVID mask mandates and stood up for kids. Danny Rehberg stood up in Congress for 12 years against some of this nonsense. Troy Downing has stood up as well. He served our country in Afghanistan. So, look, I try not to take sides in these primary fights and things like this, especially when it's an open race and not an incumbent. But, like, when people take shots at fellow Republicans that I don't think are fair, I'm going to defend our fellow conservatives and Republicans. And so I think they're great to not show up to this thing. It's time to stop playing their game. That's my take. David, yours.
I don't feel I thought Kyle Austin made some good points there. I don't really feel all that strongly one way or the other on it. I guess I really just don't feel. I mean, like I said, I think Kyle Austin made some good points. I think he made good points. Like I said, I don't feel real strong.
Yeah. All right. Kyle McMurray, stand by. We'll get to you right after the break here. David, you sent out a great tweet talking about John Tester, Liberal Senator John Tester, and how he is shadow boxing somebody that's not there.
He absolutely is.
You see these tweets from John Tester, and it's just laughable how
he's like, our public lands aren't for sale. It's like, who said they were? Like, yeah. Who are you talking
to? Who is selling public lands? And so you had a great tweet where you said Tester is shadow boxing someone that's not there. It was just classic. All right, Kyle McMurray, stand by. We'll get to you right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Power planning for the electricity grid is by necessity a centralized process. Power companies, regulators, and others plan for what to build to meet future needs. But the market that uses the power is anything but. The millions of households, businesses, cities, and factories that consume electricity are more like a huge amoeba, growing and shrinking in less predictable ways. Right now, that blob is increasing its appetite for electricity, and planners would be wise to recognize it. The recent decades of power planning have not. A concept known as demand-side management is taking firm hold in the regulatory sphere. DSM, as it's known, envisions managing the blob with both carrots and sticks to cut wasteful use of power and increase efficiency. You see the fruits of this in your LED lights and your high-efficiency refrigerators that are usually the only products allowed for sale. But the blob of demand is not so easily managed, and its needs for more air conditioning and data processing is not following the plan. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
I've been complaining for a long time that President Biden avoids the media, avoids television cameras, surrenders the bully pulpit. Right now, it's particularly egregious with violence on so many college campuses. Donald Trump, after a full day in court, called into Fox the other night and denounced the anti-Semitic hatred and said that Joe Biden is supposed to be the voice of our country. We are not hearing that voice right now. The violence has spread to places like Utah and New Mexico. At UCLA, you had two groups of protesters beating each other with weapons and chemical spray. At Columbia, which finally belatedly called in the NYPD, a building was taken over and had to be liberated. The only thing Biden said on camera is two brief sentences in response to reporters' questions. We are waiting to hear from our president. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Man, this is a crazy story. So Donald Trump Jr. spoke with the godson of Liberal Senator John Tester. His godson says that John Tester is not the same man he was 25 years ago. On top of that, Tester hasn't even met nor spoken with his own godson in over 7 years. He's changed. Number one recipient of lobbyist cash and more. Check out that full video. Go to MontanaTalks.com or see it on the Montana Talks app on your phone.
I'm the guy.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open as David Noble is here with us. We will have more open phones time without a sidekick in the 8 o'clock hour as well, so more time for you to talk then. But let's jump right into it here. Kyle McMurray is a candidate, I believe, for House District 77 out of Manhattan. Kyle, thanks for calling in, and what did you want to share this morning?
Well, thanks for taking my call, David and Aaron. I appreciate it.
So, yeah, I just want to introduce myself a little bit, kind of tell a little bit about my background. And then, you know, if you guys want to ask me questions, I'm more than open to hear those and take those. So let me get started, I guess. So I'm Kyle McMurray. I'm running for House District 77, as Aaron said. In a nutshell, House District 77 is essentially all of Broadwater County, the entire county, and then the northern part of Gallatin County, including Manhattan and the Three Forks area. So that's pretty much the encompassing boundaries of House District 77. I was born and raised in Manhattan, so I'm a native of this House District. I was an eye doctor for 40 years, and I retired about 18 months ago and decided to give something back. So my wife and I made the mutual decision to run for this office, and here we are in the middle of a hearty campaign. So
why are you running? Yeah, I mean, we're a little short on time because the challenge is we've got a lot of legislative candidates out there. So if we give you too much time, they'll all be demanding all sorts of time as well. But that's why I love it when guys like you call into the show and talk about your campaign. But real quickly, why would you say you're running? And I believe there's a competitive Republican primary there. So what would you say distinguishes you from your opponent? And how would you tell folks that you're a real conservative?
Well, I'm running my campaign motto is preserve Montana values. And, you know, the reason I chose that motto is because that's what I stand for. We live in such a special place. And, you know, those of us that have lived here our whole life, those of us that chose to move here anytime during our life, you know, we chose this place because it's pretty special. It's quite special. And we want to preserve those values, including, you know, family values, parental rights, farmers and ranchers' rights, including water rights, their property rights, you know, those kinds of things. And I would hate to see Montana go the way of some of our liberal leaning neighbors that have occurred in the last, you know, 10 to 20 years. And I could name some: Oregon, Washington, the whole West Coast, Colorado. You know, and a lot of all those places used to be really nice places, and they're still nice places from a landscape standpoint, but their political environment has gotten way too liberal. And so let's preserve Montana values, and that's what I'm about.
All right. Well, Kyle McMurray, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Yeah, and I enjoy it when the candidates will call in because, you know, there's, what, 150 seats in the legislature, and then if you have three people running in one race, that's a lot of candidates. And so it's great when we get these nice surprise phone calls. But David Noble, you were saying he was actually, what, one of your doctors growing up as a kid in Manhattan?
Yeah, so I know him as Dr. McMurray. I mean, and that Dr. McMurray is like this childhood name that it was such a blast from the past to hear that. So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm from Manhattan, grew up in Manhattan. And so, yeah, Dr. McMurray was my eye doctor, and glad to see that he's running now. And I like the message that he just put out.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to Jeff in Billings next up on the phone lines. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good.
So I just saw a document from School District 2 that Billings has been accepted as a sanctuary or a resettlement city. What do you guys know about that?
Oh, yeah. We've been talking about that for a while now. What did it say about being accepted as a resettlement city? Is this, you know, the Biden State Department has said, yes, Billings, you are a official resettlement city. Is that what the language basically entails?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is Joe Biden, and this is John Tester's State Department, because they are in charge of the State Department. And yeah, they are dumping so-called refugees into Billings, Montana, and at least 100, you know, families was the last number that we heard. So now School District 2 in Billings has got to figure out a way, because they are, David, as I understand it, they are required by law to provide education to any kid that comes here, whether legal, illegal, refugee, American citizen, whatever. They have to provide education under the law. So they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we teach all these kids that speak a variety of languages? Because they could be speaking Ukrainian, they could be speaking Pashto or Dari, they could be speaking Spanish, depending on the various countries they're coming from.
Yeah, I don't know that much about that issue. you know, and it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like, look, if you're an actual refugee or an actual asylum claimant, like, that's fine and that's good, and I don't have a problem with that. The problem is that we can't trust the Biden administration to do it right, to vet them right. And, of course, the asylum claimant process is being completely abused. There was a big Wall Street Journal report recently about how the asylum process is being abused. And it used to be that if you got caught illegally at the border, like, the Border Patrol would ask you, like, what are you doing? Like, are you an illegal alien? Now they just assume that you're going to claim asylum, and as soon as they find you, they immediately start processing an asylum claim, because they've all been trained about what to say to make these asylum claims, which, of course, 98% of them are completely fraudulent. But once they make their little asylum claim and they're given a court date sometime in the 2030s, and now they're in the United States, you know, that makes it a lot more difficult than when people say, okay, now we've got actual refugees or actual asylum claimants here that are legitimate to take them in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so well said right there. I interviewed a guy named John Fabricatori. And he was the ICE field office director for the whole state of Colorado and then also for the entire state of Wyoming. He recently retired. And he basically said exactly what you said right there. He said the problem is they are abusing the refugee and asylee process. So, again, like, if you were somebody here in Billings that, hey, you just want to help people, and, yeah, we've historically accepted refugees and asylum seekers into our country. And most Americans and Montanans are happy and pleased to do that. But the problem is it's all changed here, with Obama and now Biden, where they're abusing that process, and they're just given the, oh, you're a refugee, you're an asylee. I mean, now Biden is talking about dumping so-called refugees from the Gaza Strip into America. Unreal. Like, I mean, so seriously, so Joe Biden and John Tester could now take these pro-Hamas terrorists from the Gaza Strip, give them a refugee button, and then dump them in Billings, Montana now is their latest plan? I mean, don't we have enough pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers on American soil as it is right now?
You know what's interesting? So I went to University of Miami Law School and lived in Miami for 3 years. And one thing that I noticed was the Cubans down in Miami that fled communism under Fidel Castro, those people understand our freedom and our Constitution way better than almost all Americans. And in fact, I remember, I had a roommate I was going to law school with her, and she was a Cuban ancestry. And I remember her parents, who were actual Cuban, they fled from Cuba. They said, you Americans, you guys got to be very, very careful. What the Democrats are saying right now in America is exactly what the communists have said in Cuba and in other places. And so, you know, from my perspective, and when it comes to immigration, you know, I've always said, I think the factor that we should consider when it comes to immigration is whether the people that want to come here support our Constitution and support the principles behind America's founding of limited government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And frankly, when you have people that are fleeing communism and they fully support freedom in our Constitution, like, yeah, let's take those people in. I mean, I think it's a good thing to let people get out from underneath communism and escape to a free country. And if they fully support our Constitution and fully support everything we stand for, great. But the problem is that's not what's happening.
Yeah. No, I mean, some of the great freedom fighters here in Montana are people who escaped Soviet communist countries, like, you know, Anna in Bozeman and her husband, who I've gotten to meet a few times and who will message us on the show and call in from time to time. And I've met them in the Flathead and Missoula and all over this state. And their point is clear. There's nowhere else to flee to. That's why we've got to stand for freedom here in America, because if they take over America, there's nowhere to flee to. Sam in Kalispell messaged us on the Montana Talks app. Do you think that Zoe Zephyr understands that Hamas kills transgenders? I think Zoe Zephyr knows full well, but Zoe Zephyr doesn't have to worry about that in Missoula, Montana. Zoe Zephyr just wants to transform this country into something else, and so the transgender-killing Hamas terrorists are a temporary ally.
For sure. What I find interesting about this whole thing is, how does this benefit Joe Biden? Now, I've been predicting for years that the summer of 2024, we're going to see more BLM riots, because BLM riots always happen in the summer of a presidential election year. But here with these, you know, I don't think this is helping Biden necessarily.
I don't either. Which is why I find it interesting that Soros doesn't appear to be funding these groups in Montana. That's interesting, isn't it? All right, I'll get back to that right for this.
REI Co-op has everything for camping, glamping, scampering, and whatever they're doing. Cannonball! Relaxing, axing, waxing.
I'm sorry, what?
REI waxes your skis, man.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay.
Biking, hiking, and whatever outdoor thing rhymes with hiking. You get it. REI Co-op is the place for gear, clothing, classes, and advice. For the million and one ways to opt outside.
Fox News commentary.
Pro-terrorists mounted an insurrection on Columbia University. I don't want to hear another word from liberals or liberal media about January 6th. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something?
Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz right now at thequiz.fox.
After refusing to comply with the order to disband their encampment, campus pro-Hamas delinquents seized the Hamilton Hall building at Columbia University. For their act of insurrection, they face expulsion, which, given their actions, the punishment does not fit the crime. Occupying, barricading, and vandalizing private property, that's Columbia. Barring Jewish students from entering their classrooms, that's UCLA. Defacing statues, that's GW and Harvard and USC. What do all those campuses have in common? They are in blue states run almost exclusively by Democrats. All of this could be ended immediately if law enforcement was allowed to haul these babies out one by one by their ears and throw them in jail. No more performative arrests, apply real consequences, and the precedent will be set. Or move to a red state like Florida where this crap is not tolerated. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
Military matters.
Russia vetoed a U.S. and Japan-sponsored U.N. resolution reaffirming the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, calling for nations to prevent a nuclear arms race in space. China abstained. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin faced questions on Capitol Hill from concerned lawmakers about new intelligence suggesting Russia is developing an anti-satellite nuclear capability that would threaten U.S. space assets. If used in combat, it could blind the U.S. military.
It would have devastating consequences. We think it's irresponsible for anybody to even consider deploying or employing a nuclear device in space.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner raised alarm bells 2 months ago after seeing classified intelligence that suggested Russia planned to launch a nuclear anti-satellite weapon in space.
I believe that this is the Cuban Missile Crisis in space, and this administration is sleepwalking itself into an international crisis.
This message is approved by Kyle Austin.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, real quickly, so this was kind of the point. David, you might have heard me mention this in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. There's a big piece at thefederalist.com detailing all these left-wing dark money groups that are bankrolling these anti-Jewish protesters and these rioters. Lays out several Soros and Rockefeller-funded outfits. And so, but the question that I just found interesting, I threw this out in the 6 o'clock hour, was, you know, it was for the University of, you and I both went to UM in Missoula, so we're familiar with the radical left in Missoula. That was a small turnout for the radical left in Missoula, wouldn't you agree? I wonder if Soros's buddies, they're bankrolling Tester's campaign on the airwaves and in various other forms, but I wonder if they're deliberately not trying to push their similar anti-Israel demonstrations here in Montana, knowing that it poses challenges and it can harm John Tester. It's just a theory that I threw out there.
It's possible. I don't think we know. I do think it's an interesting question about what's the strategy here. And I think we'll know probably by the summer, because it's all going to depend on what happens this summer. And frankly, I know that Joe Biden is trying to broker a peace deal that involves ending the war and all the hostages going back, and then they want Saudi Arabia to like fully recognize Israel. They want like some Arab country coalition to start governing Gaza, and so and Biden wants to accomplish all that for his campaign so that he can run for president, saying, "Hey, look how great a job
he wants to sweep this under the rug." Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we had peace agreements underway with Trump and Israel and these Arab countries, and then all we got is war with Biden Tester in charge, that's for sure. Ken Miller in Laurel, thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, how are you this morning?
Doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to call in real quick. Across the state, we're seeing much more moderate, let's say, candidates challenging our solid conservatives that are proven, and we have that going on in Bozeman. We have it against Caleb Hinkle. And, one of your past callers in the Manhattan area is running against Jane Gillette, and she is awesome. She is a proven, solid conservative that works well with everybody. And we need to give her three more sessions. I mean, once approved, she kind of got a new district because of redistricting, so quite a bit of it is a new area for her. But, I don't know Kyle at all, and he may be a good guy, but, he can run when she's done, with her experience. And I just urge everybody up there to vote for Jane Gillette, Dr. Jane Gillette. She's a dentist. So we got a dentist against the
Air Force veteran as well. Yeah. I've always liked Dr. Yes. Jane Gillette. And then, yeah, Ken Miller, thanks for the call. I know we're short on time here, but yeah, he mentioned Caleb Hinkle. I've been a big fan of what Caleb Hinkle's done in the legislature. And then also Jennifer Carlson has done some good things in the legislature and Scott Sayles. So in that race, Caleb Hinkle, Scott Sayles, and Jennifer Carlson, three Republicans running in that same legislative primary. That's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Here's my question for you, Aaron. Does it matter how conservative our legislature is or is not if the Montana Supreme Court is just going to throw out anything they do anyway?
That's a good question. That's why these Supreme Court races are so fundamentally important here. Yeah. What I think is brewing in the background is Medicaid expansion, the debate over Medicaid expansion. So that's one question I need to be thinking about when we get some of these legislative primaries is, okay, where do you stand? Because that sunsets, I think, here coming up. So I think that's part of what's at play in the background. I know that's what I was hearing about in Northeast Montana, for example.
Speaking of Medicaid, I find it so weird the way the Democrats think it's bad when people get off public assistance, right? And so there's a bunch of people that have got jobs or maybe they got married or they did something and they no longer qualify for Medicaid because now they make money and they got a job. And the Democrats are like, this is horrible. They got kicked off Medicaid. It's like, no, it's actually good.
That's why they hate Tim Sheehy, because he's a veteran who created a successful business. They don't want you to be successful. They want veterans to be victims. They want us all to be victims.